Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Indira Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised that this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her many encounters and accounts in life. Tonight's podcast title is going to be about the aftermath and recovery stage. Without further ado, we're going to get right into the show. So, as you know, for people who have listened to the past week show that we had done on heartbreak, this is just basically in follow-up to the show and to let my listeners know as far as, you know, what took place, you know, even in between the pause, you know, from then and now. So I'm just gonna go through the aftermath, the recovery stage, and some questions that some of my audience have had that I will be answering on the show tonight. So, let's dealing with the aftermath, right? Okay, so this show is not going to be too theatrical in any kind of way. We're going to be a little bit more serious, okay? So, I would say, after going through the heartbreak, if you listen to the previous show, I've come to the conclusion that in order to be able to move on and to be able to establish healthy relationships going forward, something has to give. Okay, too many times we expect others to be responsible for things that we should already be doing in our life, such as wanting to be loved by someone who may not love us. So instead of trying to gain the love of someone else who don't love you, why not decide to love you, right? So my whole point in me saying this is that in the aftermath, I said to myself, in the process of something having to give and being able to heal and not just go through a cure, but to actually treat whatever, you know, pain that it is, you know, to go through that full effect of healing, I decided to go on a journey of self-love versus self-pity. Okay, as I said before, a lot of times people leave other people responsible for, you know, their woes in life. I chose to take responsibility of that and not have a self-pity party as, woe, it's me, things will never go right, nobody loves me. Instead of going through that type of self-talk, I said, you know what, I need to take care of myself, go on a self-love journey, you know, pamper myself, you know, understand what it's like to love me, understand the ins and out of me, what I like, what I don't like, you know, because a lot of times we want other people to understand us and read our minds, but do we understand us? Do we understand our likes, the ins and out of us? So my whole thing is this: even in the process of self-love journey, you will attract what it is that you ultimately need that will be in addition to what you already doing. So the self-love journey, it's a beautiful feeling. I would say that you learn a lot about mistakes that you've done in the past. I would say I've learned a lot about the mistakes that I've done in the past and what I could do different moving forward, even in addition to what I shared on the previous show. However, the self-love journey is more invigorating. It's more of a release of happiness, letting go, you know, because a lot of times we try to hold on to, you know, things that are not so much of not worth holding on, but we hold on to the idea of not giving up when it's warranted that we need to give up because there's nothing else to do. So it doesn't mean that you're a quitter because you decide to move on and start anew. It's just that at the end of the day, you come to the reality, you come to the end of the road and whatever it is that you're doing, and you just have to have the courage, the guts to move forward. Now, in the process of that, let's be logistic, you know, logical about moving on. Of course, you may weigh the pros and the cons. You might weigh your losses over your gains. But trust me, at the end of the day, that new journey, that change may be scary. It may be uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, it will bring out something greater than you when you have the courage to step out and do something anew, okay? Especially when it comes down to relationships. And of course, it is very imperative that you be able to heal yourself in its entirety. And that means taking responsibility of your baggages in the past, understanding where you went wrong and what you can do better going forward into the future. That is very imperative. That self-reflection phase is so important in moving forward, because I've realized that that's important. I don't want to make the same mistakes that I've done in the past. And when I even realized that who I was 2, 3, 5 years from now, before, I would say, I'm not the same person who I was previously before. I can say that I've grown, what most people would say, leveled up. But I would say that I've learned and I've grown a lot, and I've seen that where change is warranted. A lot of times people want to keep repeating the same cycle and never want to change. They're not ambitious, don't have any goals, and they just feel like their life is just so routine. Not to say it's nothing wrong or to knock anyone who has, you know, a life that's routine, because routine helps with stability. But at the same time, if you don't have no ambition to bring some type of spark into your life, you know, what good is it, or what good is it to, you know, worth living if you can't impact the world, and not just, you know, your world and the people around you, but make a tremendous impact in the world where things could be changed. Basically, your purpose in life is so important. So being goal-oriented is a beautiful thing, even if it's just something so small to medium to grand, you know, large. It's okay to have goals. Don't get stuck in the phase of dreaming. It's never too late to start a new journey, okay? Yes, it's scary. It's uncomfortable. Yes, it's the unknown, the void. But at the end of the day, take that leap of faith and move forward into your new future. Don't look back or have any trail of your past follow you into the future. Okay, so self-love versus self-pity. I mean, let's get over that. When you put out into the universe negative thoughts, negative experiences, woe it's me, oh, things don't ever go right, or, you know, just not taking accountability for your actions, you put that out into the universe for more of those things to happen in your life. So why not take the risk of self-love over self-pity? It's so costly to go through a self-pity phase and feeling entitled to negative emotions and being pessimistic, but you lose more. You lose more because it develops stress, and stress is a silent killer. Why do that to yourself when you can say, you know what? Today, I am going to pamper myself. Today, I am going, if you are a woman, I'm going to go get my nails, my toes, my hair is done to look good, feel good for me. Not for no one else, not for anybody else's compliment, but for me to look in the mirror and say, you are beautiful. For you men, you might want to go and get you something. You might be a tech guy, you like technology. go get you something. Reward yourself for a good day or a good time. Whatever it is that makes you happy. If you need that drink, limit it down to one or two drinks. Don't go to, be too extravagant with it. But you want to be in control. If that's what brings you joy, you know, do something that's going to signify self-love. Go get a haircut. Get some new clothes. Do something, you know, you guys. And do it for you. New cut, new you. You know? So, I'm just saying, you know, it builds up the confidence. It boosts it up a whole lot. Okay? So, now moving along to the aftermath. Okay, so as I mentioned on a brief level, then I talked about how letting go and moving forward, I've learned to let go of what's no longer within my control. And that, when I had evaluate that, and I said to myself, you know, how can I change this? How can I make a difference in this? And I realized that in certain situations, we say to ourselves, we could do this, I can do this, I could continue to move forward. But at the end of the day, when you're sitting down to yourself and you're all alone and you're by yourself, because that's how I felt, you say to yourself, I'm hurting. I'm hurting trying to be strong and the hero for other people except for myself. And it goes back to the yes being yes and the no being no. And it's like living a lie, living a fantasy, or living the life of someone else that imagined for you to live for them to make them comfortable. And it's not good. And I said to myself, even though this is a noble thing to do, and yes, it's warranted for something good, but at the end of the day, if I'm not happy inside, and it doesn't necessarily mean having to be selfish, but if you have to be selfish enough to choose you for self-love, and you have to be happy within yourself, and be around people who can cater to that, and it's a give and take, a reciprocity, and not just a one-sided thing, then that's good, because it's not just, you know, you being drained and people just taking from you all of the time, or people not even caring about your emotional or mental health, you know, or well-being, you know. So in the process of letting go, I said to myself, you know what, I can love these people enough to let them go, because if these people don't want to stay in my life, I'm not going to force them. Now, if they want to stay in my life and all they doing is take, 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 and I feel drained, I have to decide and choose to let them go, or to love from a distance, or just in general, let the person go and move on in their life, you know, and stop trying to feel responsible for things that they are responsible for in their life. This is just, you know, me in general. And this falls back to being people being a people pleaser. Okay. And I would say I have been a people pleaser at times for other people, and it didn't get me anywhere. You know, it got me to places where people did, you know, took me for granted. You know, people didn't have that much respect for me. And, you know, at the end of the day, they find out, oh, wow, you know, she's totally not what we assumed or what we, you know, thought of. And at the end of the day, it'd be too late, because, you know, if I was a gift to you, you know, if I was a blessing to you and you didn't appreciate that, that's your loss, you know, at the end of the day. And I don't really like to play around with the word blessing or whatever the case might be, or be religious or anything like that. But I just say, if I brought to the table abundance to you, or brought something to the table and you didn't appreciate that, that's your loss, you know. And that could be with friendships and relationships and things of that sort. So I'm okay with the fact of that. But I feel like what stands out to me most, even when I evaluate the pros and the cons of all the loss, like I'm going to be losing on this, you know, but at the end of the day, is it really worth my peace? Is it really worth my happiness? And I said to myself, you know what, I can accept this loss, because that's what life is about at times. Taking a risk, and taking a risk for you to invest in you is a beautiful thing, because when you build yourself up, you are in the good condition to build other people up in a self-sufficient way, in a strong way. So I chose the route to where I needed to let go, to reinvest in me, so that way I can rebuild myself up to make other people stronger who cross my path. Okay, so what stood out to me most is that I cannot stress over what I cannot control. I cannot stress over the past because the past is the past and we cannot do anything about changing the past. Okay? That is like hitting and running into a wall repeatedly. When you try, when you reminisce about the past and you feel like, oh, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda, whatever the case might be, it's no use. So I said, you know what? Letting go doesn't mean that I'm a quitter. Okay, letting go just means that I need to reevaluate and assess my life. And that's what I want my listeners to know. It's okay to let go of things that don't serve a purpose to you. If you're not happy, you're not peaceful, you can readjust and take charge of your life. Okay, you can do that. It's all up to you and how you make it conducive. And it's all about taking baby steps. Believe you me, it didn't take a large, big step for me to just take a whole leap of faith, it took baby steps for me to get to that leap of moving forward instead of continuously making baby steps. So what I said is, what I'm basically trying to tell my listeners is that you have to take baby steps. It has to start in the mind, your thought, and you make little incremental changes into your life and you keep doing it. 21 days to change a habit, do it. But at the end of the day, it's going to be conducive and effective to your life in the future. Okay, so that's what I've concluded. Okay, so I said, you know what? What I can control is me. What I can control is the people, you know, around me and how I love them. That's in my life right now. What I can control is, you know, my future outcome and how I want it to be and how I want to impact the world in the future. I can do that. It's within my control. It's not in any other person's control, but it's within my control and with the Most High guidance to help guide me and lead me onto the path that I need to be on. Okay, so what no longer serves a purpose to me, I don't care if it's a job and, you know, I get fired or whatever the case might be, and I say to myself, why? Instead of saying, whoa, it's me, I need to say, you know what, thank you, universe, because the universe may have something greater and better for me. So depending on a occupation or a job or a career that didn't go well, you know, that wasn't in my control. That was in the employer's control. Just giving a prime example and just moving forward. Okay, if you don't want to hire me, that's fine. I'm okay with that. And move along instead of feeling begrudge feelings, instead of feeling upset, angry. Why go through all of those wasted emotions? You know, so I chose to internalize the situation and, you know, be able to assess it and say, you know, I'm going to take the good out of any bad situation and move forward. That's just me. I know some people say, well, I can't do that. I can't pretend or whatever the case might be. Not to say that you have to pretend. I'm saying that at the end of the day, if you have to fake it till you make it, do so. But at the end of the day, take accountability for things in your life realistically. Okay, such as if you know you have responsibilities as far as maintaining a home, you know, paying bills and all of that stuff. Do not ignore that. No, I'm talking on your free time and placement of you developing a hobby, you know, things of that sort. You can fake it till you make it in that aspect, that avenue of that free time and that leisure time that you have to develop a hobby. You know, you can fake it and make it into that. Even in the social ground, the social setting, people who you socialize with, you can fake it till you make it. You know, just, you know, basically find out, learn things about yourself, network, put yourself out there on the market, sell yourself, you know, sell yourself, not your soul, but sell yourself as in your good qualities, what you got to bring to the table and people wanting to be around you and attracted to you. That's how you sell yourself, you know, and you know, your skills and things of that sort. And that's just on a general base, you know, because that could be for entrepreneurs as well, you know. So this is what I had come to the conclusion of, and it has been going so well, especially me being in control of me being in control of setting boundaries and sticking to that, and being able to say that I deserve to be happy, I deserve to be loved, and even if it starts with me, but I deserve, we need to start saying that word, I deserve, fuck, we need to say that word, because once you say that, that universe, when you put that feeling, that passion out, the universe is gonna, like, just, you know, do some, you know, little, you know, things in the background, and just make things happen if you really feel, and you really have a knowing that you deserve the best, and nothing less than your best. If you know that, then it's a beautiful feeling when you see the manifestations in your life. When you making things happen, when you ambitious, you got that drive, you got that passion. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, but when you got that, it's a beautiful feeling. Trust you, me. Okay? And then, in addition to the aftermath, embracing a new journey and growing. So I would say, when I had to let go, not so much of what didn't serve my purpose in life, but when I had to let go of what I've, you know, done in the past, I would say that in the journey, it hurted. It hurted. Loss hurts sometimes. And I'm going to say there's no way of avoiding that hurt. When you see the loss, when you see things that you invested in and you've seen it grow, and you like, this is a beautiful feeling, even if you are not a part of it, it's still a beautiful feeling, because at the end of the day, you know, somewhere down the line, you sowed a seed, you know, even if you don't have the opportunity to enjoy the fruitfulness and abundance of your past. Sometimes we just got to let things go and just be happy and okay with the seeds that we sown in the past and the outcome of it. We need to just be okay with that. So I chose to just be okay with the fact of, even though I'm on my new journey, I know that what the Most High has for me, because I know that I did what I needed to do and took accountability in letting go. So therefore, if I'm letting go and my focus is only looking forward and moving forward, then I know the Most High has so much things in store for me now that the Most High will want to bring into my life, people, things, you know, me going places and things and stuff in life. This is what the Most High will have for me, you know. And I said, you know what, I'm ready to embrace it. It's scary, it's of the unknown, but I would say that, and just going back for a moment, give a little bit of silence. And my breakup with someone for at least a 4 to 5 year period, it took me 3 years, as I shared in the previous show, to get over that person. And as you all know, that the process that it took, and I can reiterate that in this show, but it took me 3 years. And I will say that first year, it was so painful, but painful in a way that I had to numb myself. Numb my feelings. So whereas what the person was doing and what they kept on doing, it affected me, but that person didn't understand how it was affecting me. No matter how many times I may have showed or told the person, I still feel that at the end of the day, they chose to live their life the way they choose to do it. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, when I realize now and then, they didn't respect me enough to want to change. They didn't respect themselves enough to want to change. You know, they had their goals and their ambitions, and maybe it didn't coincide with mine. And that's okay. That's fine. But at the end of the day, sometimes we try to stay in relationships where we pass through our time and it's expired. And I just feel like at that point in time that the relationship has expired, okay? And I feel like now it's like, after everything is all said and done and things are going well, you know, it's like, is hitting the wall. And I said, you know what, my feelings are numb. I feel like, you know, there's so much of a, you know, disparity between me and this person. You know, of course there was a 17-year age gap between him and I, and I kind of summed it up to the fact of, okay, maybe this person is set in their ways. I'm, you know, just learning my way in life. And, you know, no matter what I do or say, you know, this person is going to choose to live their life the way they want to. So I still have my life, you know, to live. I still have, you know, things, goals, and ambitions. So I said to myself, I may not be able to see my way out of this now, but I know that I have to leave. I have to go because it's not serving any purpose to me. So to say all of that is that that first year, you know, upon this person doing what they've done to me, this is not to have a self-pity, but I said to myself that this is where the separation starts physically, you know. And I feel like in that year, I would say 2018, that year we had a conversation and they already knew we was at a rocky road and, you know, we were about to hit that split. And as much as they wanted to keep me around, and as much as many times I kept telling them prior up until that time that it was going to be something so small that they do that's going to break us up, and they're going to keep running it through their mind like, damn, why did I do this? Why did I do this? And sure enough, it did happen. It did manifest itself. But the fact of the matter is that when we hit that road, it was like, it was like the person's trying to, you know, my former person is trying to pull me back in, trying to keep me stationary. You know, they said things, you know, to like keep me at a standstill, staying position. And I said, you know what? No, I gotta go. And as a woman, you know, to a man, I feel that it's not good, even in the separation, it's not good to carry on a sexual relationship with the person. So that person knew that whenever, whatever encounter we were going to have with each other, that it was going to be the last time we ever be intimate with each other on a physical level. Because I am not the type to carry on a relationship with someone and, you know, even if I'm in a separation with someone whom I'm previously with, I'm not going to do that, okay? Because I feel like it's a blatant disrespect to myself, blatant disrespect to the man who I'm in separation with, or a blatant disrespect to the person who I'm starting something new with. So I feel that, no, if I'm done with you, I'm done with you on a physical level, you know? And that's what took place. But even in the meantime, even though we weren't together physically, you know, at that point in time, we still had a business to run. We still had an organization to run, and we did that. And even in the course of that, I still had to transition things out, like finances. I had to transfer certain, you know, things that I've been working on with, you know, the organization. I had to give him a copy, you know, hard copy of whatever, you know, I had did administratively for him. And, you know, just going through that transitioning phase and having to give him things, because I said, you know what, I am going to do this. And sure enough, I did that. We had that first year. We were not physical with each other, but we carried on conversations with each other. And that's when our life started to go, you know, one person went north, other person went south. And the only thing that we could agree on is the business, which is east, and dealing with the business logistics and the organization and things like that. So even though they were going north and I was going south, but we had to focus on what was on the east side. So that's what we were doing. And just metaphorically, just given, you know, not to confuse anyone. But even in that direction, we carried on, and I said to myself that, you know what, now I feel as though there needs to be a soulful detachment, you know, from this person. So I did it on a physical first, and, you know, whereas we weren't intimate, we weren't spending time with each other as much, and then, you know, the soulful aspect, as in, I don't know about you know, my listeners. But when I get with someone, I feel like there is like a veil or something or whatever where that connect, or a string or something that connects me to the person. It's not just something superficial, you know, when I get into a relationship, even though the logistics of it may not always be good, but I always tend to have a connection, soulful connection with the person who I'm with. So it's almost as if the way him and I had a connection was, you know, I can sense things that he's going through or things that he was doing before he even, you know, actually did it or was thinking, or when he thinks certain things, whatever the case might be, I will haphazardly, you know, speak of it. And so we've done that a lot to where, you know, I knew that that was a connection that him and I had, you know, on a soulful level and maybe on a mental level, I would say. And, you know, I knew that we had that connection, but I knew that that connection had to be severed, you know, because that will be considered someone still being in your energy field. Okay. So fast forward, that first year, we just focused on the business and aspects or whatever, and we transitioned finances, you know, administrative things, and, you know, things were moving forward. So now the third year was more of a mental detachment. Now, believe you me, this person already had goals and ambitions and things that he wanted, whether it consists of me or not, me being a part of his goals, you know, not even though he said many times he wanted me to be a part of those goals and ambitions that he had. Unfortunately, that's not what the universe played out to be. So he had his goals and his aspirations and what he wanted to achieve in life. And I was fine. Likewise with me, I had my goals and ambitions and what I wanted to do in life. So the third year, I knew that it had to be a mental detachment. After everything was transferred and transitioned out to him in the second year, and there was a soulful detachment, you know, I kind of say that it lingered a little bit into the third year, and I just had to cut the string, you know, cut the tie. And I feel like that happened when I realized that he chose to carry on a relationship or be in a relationship with someone else. Okay. And then as time went along, I said to myself that now that he's in a relationship, now that things are going well, this is time for me to cut the cord officially and to go about the mental detachment. And that's exactly what I did. As far as not, he was not able to have as much access to me or call me as much or whatever the case might be, because he was going through a life changing or altering situation where he had a child with this person. So there was no need for him to call me, contact me, or whatever the case might be. So I had to cut all ties, that including the business, the organization, and things of that sort. It had nothing to do with me seeing the vision and the growth of, you know, things that he was doing. And even with the business that I've grown so close to and accustomed to, which was Naturelle's show, I had to cut that as well because it was a link to him. So after, I would say it's about 4 months or 3 months in so far, September, I would say 2 months in, that I officially mentally detached myself from, you know, him, and things have been going well. So I would say, I say all this to say that in the journey, when you embrace something new, it doesn't matter how long it take. It took me 3 years, you know, and more. I would think that it's going to take me another 2 years to go through a solid healing and to be able to open up my mouth and tell like another woman or another man something that I went through that can help them, you know, have a breakthrough and to see things different. You know, things don't just happen sporadically. You have to strategically, you know, design how you're going to get out of a situation in your mind first, and then take incremental steps towards what you're going to do as far as taking action, and make sure you always have your end goal and what you need to do. Okay, so that's what I did, and I say that I embraced the journey that I'm going on now. It was scary in the process of letting, you know, him go, the organization and things, because I was accustomed to it. There were seeds that I've grown into helping him grow, because there's something about me as far as wanting to see a so-called black man succeed, or just men succeed in general and be successful. It's innate feeling in me that I just want to see them succeed, okay, at, you know, I won't say at any cost, but just be successful, to have that, you know, sense of, you know, ownership. Like, you know, I just, you know, love it when a man, you know, so-called black man has their own business, you know, their establishment, and they doing their thing, they're ambitious, and, you know, they also helping other people. It's a beautiful feeling to see that, you know, to see a so-called black man in their purpose, and they really serious about it, you know, so it's a beautiful feeling. So I embraced that new journey. And I am continuously growing because I'm learning something new. And of course, I have a teenage daughter, and that I have to set an example for, you know. And of course, some things have to change into my life, and I have to be a better person for myself and for her, you know. So this journey was beautiful. It was scary. It was uncomfortable. It was like, oh, I gotta fit myself into this new, you know, situation, but it's coming along good. So now the next thing I would say is that I had to learn to trust me and be my own best friend. I had to. Like, a lot of times we could be our own worst enemy, where we self-sabotage certain situations. And of course, I'm victim of that at times. Going through a self-sabotaging situation, always doing things backwards. So it's almost as if you have to trick your mind into certain things to do the right thing. So a lot of times that happened with me. But I said, you know what? Let me let an ace be an ace and a spade be a spade, and not try to be either lazy, procrastinate, or self-sabotage. An ace being an ace and a spade being a spade. Let me just stay focused on what needs to be done. So I said to myself, if I can be my own best friend, if I can be my own keeper, like, okay, you know you're not supposed to be doing this, don't do that. If I know that I'm capable of discipline, why not, you know, take action. So I said, you know what? Forget about being my own worst enemy and being in self-sabotaging situations. Let me be my own best friend and keep myself in check. And that's what I chose to do, because what happens is that you learn to trust you, and I learned to trust me as far as being my own best friend. Now, when I'm in a self-sabotaging situation where I'm compromising my no meaning yes, my yes meaning no, you know, in that situation, or just self-sabotaging just in general, I can't trust me. I can't say that, oh, well, oh my God, here come this fine looking guy, and oh my God, I'm gonna pull my panties off of them. Like, not literally, but it's just a little joke though. But, you know, the temptation, like, I said, you know what, like, if I was in a self-sabotaging situation, maybe yes, it may have happened. Or if not, if I'm in my strong pursuit, as far as, you know what, you know, let me be my own best friend, keep myself in check. Yes, this person may be fine and, you know, handsome or whatever the case might be, but at the end of the day, is it really worth me compromising my self-respect, my self-love, and this, that, the third? No, it's not. It's not worth that. You know, having, you know, desires, passion and stuff like that, because we all have passion and desire, right? We do. So at the end of the day, I said to myself, you know what? I can be my own best friend. And the more I'm my own best friend, I can learn to trust me. I can really say that if I get into a situation, the guy looks so fine and good, I can really say, you know what? Yes, he looked fine. Yes, he looked good. But at the end of the day, I have no business, you know, entangling myself or getting myself entangled in temptation. So therefore, turn and look the other way. And a lot of times we try to think that, oh, if we avoid or block them, that it's going to go away. No, you got to face it head on. You got to face the temptation right there. You see that cake. You know, you like cake. you know, for you guys out there, I'm just joking, like to have your cake and eat it too, right? No, I'm just joking. But you see a chocolate cake, you like chocolate, and you like, damn it, I'm tempted, I want to eat it, okay? Let me not look at it, let me not, you know, pay attention to it, you know, put it away, so then I won't think of it. No. When you are able to have that chocolate cake in front of you, and you say, you know what, that chocolate cake looks so freaking good. It looked delicious, but you know what? I'm not going to take a bite out of that, because you know why? If I take a bite out of that, you know, I know I'm not supposed to be eating sugar, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not supposed to be doing all of that, because this is what's going to happen. This self-sabotaging situation is going to happen. I'm going to gain weight, you know, it's more calories and stuff like that. So I'm not going to do it. So When you think of the logistical part of it, and you think of what can go wrong if you engage and indulge your temptation, it makes you second guess. Like, okay, it keeps you stronger when you, like, the temptation is right in front of you, and you making the logistic decision, like, you know, and not just that you're not attracted to it, but, you know, you realizing that, okay, all of the bad things that could happen if you indulge it, you know. So just the same thing with sex, you know that if you indulge it, there's a possibility of unwanted pregnancy. There's a consequence of emotionally getting attached from women to men, you know, to a person when you have a sexual contact. So you have to take accountability of that, right? Diseases, sexual transmitted diseases, these things can happen. So no matter how fine the person look, you want to be able to dangle that logical aspect of it in front of your face and say, you know what, is it worth the temptation? Is it worth me indulging in, you know, as much as, you know, I will want, or, you know, want to engage it, you know? So I feel like that's what helped me to be able to look at temptation and the indulgence of it in a different way. And that's how I was able to combat any feeling of temptation or, you know, self-sabotage in any situation with logical aspects of what can go wrong, you know. So yes, in that aspect, okay. And then last thing, I chose to keep a journal handy. I would say I have one journal, but I'm gonna have two in addition to that. One journal is more or less of me conducting the show, and being able to share life encounters and experiences. And then another journal will be of gratitude and manifestation. You know, some people might say, oh, what is that for? I just want to indulge that because I feel that writing and, you know, writing things into existence, or just getting your mind, you know, focused and just decluttering your mind is so therapeutic. It is. It's so, so I chose to keep a journal in handy, okay? As far as new relationship with myself and seeking similar relationships that are likewise. So if I have self-respect for myself, I have self-love. And I know that at the end of the day, that I'm not going to do anything that's going to go against the greater good of me. And every decision that I choose to make is because I want to do it. Not because I don't want to do it, because I want to do it. And I already thought of the consequences, already thought of the enjoyment or whatever the case might be ahead of time, you know, before actually moving forward. So I would say when you have that type of respect for yourself, other people will see that. Other people will see that, and you will attract those same like-minded people who have self-respect for themselves, have self-love, don't cross boundaries, but create boundaries as a way to move forward in life. When you have those types of people in your life, it's good to have those people, because they motivate you and push you forward to, like, you know what? No, it's not okay to be nice, because there was a time when I was always nice, and nice got me nowhere. So at the end of the day, me being a stand-up person, taking charge of my life, taking charge of me, it caused me to be, you know, be in charge of my own life and being able to say, I don't like certain things, creating boundaries. And if a person don't respect that, bye-bye. I don't got time to deal with you because you don't have no self-discipline with yourself, and you trying to get me on that chain of self, you know, sabotaging or self-pity. I already outgrown that, you know. So dealing with people who are still in that predicament, I try to shun them and stay away, because you will get tested and tempted. It's just going to happen, you know, as far as seeing if you're ready to move forward in life or not. So I would say new relationship with myself and seeking similar relationships. Yes, indeed. And last thing, setting healthy boundaries to where my no is an absolute no. And my yes is an absolute yes. And it shows that I mean it. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, the aftermath of heartbreak was me going on a journey of self-love, me letting go what's no longer in my control, embracing a new journey and growing in the process of it, learning to trust me and being my own best friend. Keeping a journal or journals and having and developing a new relationship with myself and seeking similar relationships likewise with other men and women, and just setting healthy boundaries, okay? Setting healthy boundaries and realizing that it's okay to tell somebody off if they disrespect you or they cross a boundary, to tell them off completely if they cross a boundary with you, they crossed the line. You know, it's okay to put them in their place. Okay, it's fine. It's okay, especially when you know you're in the right. All right. So yes, that was the aftermath. So now that I talked about the aftermath of the situation, I want to talk about the recovery stage. Okay, so even in a little bit of me sharing the 3-year process or whatever, you have a gist of that. But let me tell you, learning why the past becomes a historical point in life and not a bad memory was important to me. So looking at my past as a historical point up until the point of now is something that I looked at as, okay, it may be a bad memory of letting go or a bad experience, or not to look at it that way, but to look at it as, you know what, this was a point in life that was meant to happen and for me to grow in that. So it was. So in the process of all of that, I would say that every encounter, everything that I've been through up until this point, I do not regret. Okay? Whether it was a loss or not, I don't regret it. It's just something that was a part of my past and a historical point, and I choose not to let it linger in my mind as a bad memory or bad experience or encounter. And that's my recovery stage. Okay? Understanding and accepting the past cannot be changed, but the future can, as I said before, that's within my control. So that can be within your control when you understand the dynamic of what took place, how it affected you. When you sit down and you affect your emotions and don't just get caught up and lost in your emotions, but look outside of yourself in the situation. Don't look at situations so close up, but look at it from a grand perspective as if you are standing on a hill and you could see a good view of everything like an eagle, right? Or maybe even an owl, but I'm just using that metaphorically. But so when you in situations, you have to be able to see things from a grand perspective and not so close up. And when you analyze and you understand things in its entirety, it brings you to that point of acceptance, okay? And moving forward and understanding that you cannot indulge and engage things that you cannot change in your past, but you can change your future. Okay, so yes, understanding and embracing your strengths and weaknesses in relationships. I had to embrace that, you know, like I have a tendency of having this thing called flight or fight. Like this situation, basically when things go wrong in a relationship or things, you know, get a little bit touchy, I have a tendency of taking flight. or sometimes fight, meaning trying to defend myself. But I want y'all listeners to know, anytime when you try to defend yourself, it is a sign of weakness. Okay, and this is what I learned over time, that when you try to do that, it just shows that you're weak. And when you walk away or you take flight, giving up, it's just as weak. You know, when you don't deal with a situation like an adult, not to say that I didn't deal with situations like an adult, but being able to not get emotions involved in a situation and think things with a total logical perspective, I had to learn that over time. And that may be a weakness as far as being a little defensive on the defense side, but in the process, on the flip side of that, developing emotional intelligence over time as well is something that I realize is a strength. Because even though my emotions may be a little erratical, but in the process of trying to assess what I'm feeling and being able to deal with it accordingly will help me to be a greater person in a relationship with someone else, when I'm able to, you know, keep those emotions under control and being able to release what's toxic or whatever the case might be in my own way, and not, you know, how should I say that? Not enforce that on someone else, you know, whatever it is that I'm going through. Like, whatever I'm going through, I'm going to go through on my own and come back with emotional intelligence, which is a strength. So being able to evaluate the pros and the cons of just understanding you and embracing it is a good thing as well, too. Okay, one thing I would say about me is that I'm not territorial. I can't say if it's a strength or a weakness, because a lot of times when someone is territorial, they take an ownership of what they invest in, or they take an ownership of whatever is connected to them. And I'm not like that, because I feel like people are gonna do what they want to do, and they're in control of themselves at the end of the day. So what good is it to be territorial in relationships, or just be territorial over an environment that you didn't create? You know, what's the whole point in that? You know, because it's only being territorial of an activity if you're trying to locate, take charge of an area. But when it comes down to a person and you being territorial of a person, like, dude, you didn't bring that person into the world. So who are you? You're not their mom. You're not their dad. Who are you to be territorial? It's okay to have boundaries and standards. You know, if that person don't respect it, then you know what you need to do is walk away and leave, because that person don't respect themselves. They still need some time to develop over time, and you move along. Simple as that. But at the end of the day, I'm just not territorial. Don't get me wrong. If I love someone, yes, I love them, and I love them unconditionally. That's just me. But at the end of the day, being territorial, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it inadvertently may happen to other people, especially when you invest in certain situations and you know at the end of the day, you put your blood, heart, sweat, and tears into the situation, and you like, nah, I'm not letting this go. You know, that's understandable. But at the end of the day, it's like you lose more than you actually gain. So what's the point in that, right? So my whole thing is this: being territorial is not my thing. Being in partnership and being on the same page with the person, and we thriving and moving and, you know, forward is my thing. Because we have a common goal and we're moving forward. At the end of the day, we respect each other. They respect me. I respect them, and we can move forward. That's it. Not getting caught up into trivial nonsense and all of this shenanigans and things like that, especially people who are in relationship. Oh, you can't have female friends. Oh, you can't have male friends. Nah, that's not my thing at all. Come on. Because when you're ambitious and you have goals, you have to network with other people. You're going to have clients of opposite sex. So what's the whole point in being on some, oh, you can't have this, you can't have that? No, it's just trivial, and it boils down to nonsense, trivial nonsense. Okay, and I'm not with that. Okay, now another thing is knowing my sexuality type and understanding the attraction phase. So I already understand my sexuality. Yes, I am a heterosexual woman. Yes, I am. And I realize in being a heterosexual, when you go a little deeper, that I am a demisexual as well. And a demisexual is someone who develops feelings for someone over time, and that's when they take things in different stages. I'm that type of person. I'm a slow warm up. Like, I'm not gonna just, you know, be promiscuous with other people or have people in my energy field. That's just not my thing. Hell to the no, no, nah. Like, that's not me. So understanding my sexuality type was very important and imperative to me. There's another one, sapiosexual. I realized that I'm in, you know, that bracket of those two. Sapiosexual is someone who's attracted to someone who's very intelligent. I noticed that that happens with me. And it's good that I understand that, because a lot of times we may not understand why we have a certain type of attraction, but we have it. And we just keep it black and white. Oh, you're homosexual, you're gay, you're lesbian, versus, oh, you're heterosexual, you're this, you're that. Like, come on, like, when you take the time to research and you understand, what is this attraction? What is it that I am feeling? How can I identify and classify with what is what? So I was able to do the research and understand that, okay, this, I know that I'm a heterosexual. I know that even in the process of that, that it falls between, you know, demisexual and sapiosexual, that I'm attracted to those types of people. And that's okay. That's fine. So no, that has nothing to do with me being promiscuous. I don't care how fine and attractive the opposite sex may look to me. But if I develop feelings and I've known this person over time, that's where the temptation lies, or whatever the case might be. But if it's just a, you know, random person or whatever the case might be, hell to the no. I don't care how intelligent. I don't care what amount of materialistic things that you have, or how attractive you are. If I don't have a connection with you, there's not a spark, nothing is going to happen. So if you look at me and you think, oh, she's a lesbian or whatever the case might be, I wouldn't give a shit, because at the end of the day, I understand who I am. I know what I'm attracted to, and that's just so. Right? So understanding that in your attraction phase is very important, especially in the recovery stage. I understood that, because a lot of times you got people that say, you know what? Forget about heterosexual relationship. I'm going to go with the same sex relationship because I got too many heartbreaks from these men. Let me go with the women. Maybe I won't get experience as much heartbreak. But let me tell you, not to say that I experienced any relationship with the same sex, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing, because even with the same sex, people have their own, you know, agenda, what they choose to do. You cannot control that. So damn if you do, damn if you don't, you know. So that's just my thing, you know. So it's important to understand that. Be okay and forget. But you know, instead of the word forget, you know what other word that I want to say, you know, for my listeners? But forget what other people think about who and what you are. If it makes you happy, you know that this is how you live in your life, forget other people's opinion, because it doesn't mean sugar, honey, iced tea. Okay? They don't pay your bills. They don't put no roof, no clothes, no food on your back. And they damn sure don't take care of your children if you have offsprings. So to hell with other people's opinions are, or what they think, right? Don't let it impact you. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but boo-boo, words should never hurt you. People's opinions should never hurt you, okay? So now moving along, knowing the difference between chemistry and having a connection with someone is important, okay? You can have chemistry and be infatuated with the person, and it may not be long-lived. It may just be short-lived, okay? Basically, marginalized down to a fling. And you thinking that, oh, I can see a future with this person. And we women, we tend to do that a lot of times. We get with a guy, they give us some play, they invest in us a little bit. Oh, I can see a future with them. I can see me having babies with them. Oh, I can see me being rich with them. You know, at the end of the day, you're bugged out of your goddamn mind if you're thinking all of this stuff. And this guy have not even initiated that. He's not even thinking about any of this. And you're thinking of all of this stuff. And this is how the emotions get tied up. And we just be in some entanglement, some type of boo. We be in some type of boo because the stuff that we imagine in our mind and things of that sort, that's just chemistry. And I don't care how much he's catering to the idea of it. He's catering to the idea, but realistically, it's not so. And remember when I said a man is going to only do what you allow. So if he got to lie to you to get the cookie, baby, I love you, baby, this, baby, that, he's going to do it. Trust me, he is going to try and do what he can do to get what he want and take flight when it's time for him to go. Okay? So understand, do not, ladies, women, do not see, oh, I see a future. Oh, I see him as my husband and this, that, the third. No. Take the rose colored glasses off and see things for what it is. If it's only a sexual relationship and he's not investing or doing anything else other than that, then obviously it's just a one-sided relationship and he's using you to his convenience. And that's just point blank period, and vice versa. It is not a connection you have with the person because you have a simple conversation with them. To them, you may think that you have a chemistry with them because, oh, they like what I like. Oh, they do what we do. Oh, we spend time with each other and stuff like that. No, boo-boo. That is not having a connection with someone. And you might think you equate those things to chemistry because of how Google Eye or how good they can make love to you and this, that, the third. At the end of the day, it's not about that. It's not about just sex. Come on. It's not just about our genital area. When you feel that you have chemistry with someone, yes, you might come across your soulmate, but there's also a twin flame. Did you know that, right? When you come across someone who you identical with as a twin flame, that's when you could say to yourself, oh, I had a connection with them. You know, because they understand the ins and out of you. Sometimes a soulmate may too, but it goes deeper than the surface of your soulmate when you find yourself identical with the person, okay? You can vibe with them, okay? It's not just about sex. It's about learning and growing into the future or being greater people in the future. That's having a connection when it's conducive to the greater good of who you are and not gonna break you down over time, because that's what chemistry does. Chemistry is like, okay, at the end of the day, everything is coming together good, but once it explodes, that's the end of it. And that's it. It just becomes just an experience and not an encounter where you have a connection with someone and you like, wow, where the person is just not just blowing your mind on a superficial level, but they blowing your mind where they open in certain, you know, DNA, giving you DNA explosion and things of that sort. That is having a connection with the person. Okay. 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 So don't get it mixed up. Don't. And then stabilizing your emotions versus your ego. Your ego will get you in trouble. I learned that my ego can get me in trouble because it could get me on the ride of trying to be wrong and strong. And at the end of the day, I'm only self-destructing. So ego, gotta put that to the side. And I have to stabilize my emotions because I have to develop emotional intelligence over time. So this is how I chose to go through the recovery stage. Okay, of the two, understanding the two, the difference between the two. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, so I am back. So I'm just going to deal with the questions that some of my listeners have had. I may have answered your question, but if I have to reiterate it, I will do so. Okay, so the first question up is, what is the healing phase like after 3 years getting over a past relationship? So I would say the healing phase is more of a butterfly effect, whereas it's like you in the cocoon for some time and some period, and then when it's time for you to break the mold and fly like a butterfly, and the outcome of it, you can't go back. You can't go back into the cocoon again. No, you got to learn how to fly, flap your wings, and go out into the world. So I would say that's what the healing phase is like for me with getting over the past relationship for 3 years. Okay, and it's been a good journey, I would say. And the only reason why I say that I've taken those steps for the three-year process, I feel that as though it may take another 2 years, because even with the butterfly has to learn how to fly and, you know, be okay without being in the world and stuff. So I would say I need 2 more years at least to heal. So 5 years solid, and to be able to say and look back 5 years from now and say that this was a good journey as far as going through the healing phase and not having any baggages whatsoever, but being able to say that, okay, I did go through this journey. I did go through the healing phase, and this is what it was like. So I would say I still need a process of 2 years, and that's just basically learning how to flap my wings alone into a new journey and moving forward. That's how I would say, okay? So the next question is, have I learned a valuable lesson from a previous relationship? And if so, what was the lesson? Okay, so I would say that the valuable lesson that I learned is learning to let go of what's no longer within my control. It was something that I had to learn over time. And I've also learned in a process of that is that the only person who I can change is me. I can't change anyone else. I can have a positive influence on a person, but I can't change no one but myself. So I would say that in my previous relationship, I've learned that at the end of the day, if I had to choose my happiness over the other person, that I choose my happiness over me, and I choose to love me in spite of loving that person. And I feel that that's what I've learned that was valuable in a relationship to get me moving forward, to love me opposed to loving that person. Because I feel at the end of the day, when I had the opportunity and I focused, had all my attention with that person and showed all of my love to that person, that they didn't appreciate it or value the love when it was given to them. So why not at this point choose me and not continue to continue the cycle of rendezvous of being hurt all the time, but to choose me and learn to love me and moving forward. Okay, so I feel like that's what was the lesson learned and how I can move forward as far as learning that if it's not within my control, as far as being able to have an influence or to be able to be okay with it or whatever the case might be, if it's not, you know, something that I control, then I'd rather let it be and move along. And a lot of times I'm learning too that sometimes in relationships it's not worth fighting for or attempting to fight, because when you let people do what they want to do, you realize what they choose to do when you let them do them. Okay, so it's like at the end of the day, if they choose to do something XYZ and they don't consider you in that, how can you control that? You know, so that's my thing. So you let people go to see what they would rather do in life, and if they rather do XYZ, you have no control of that. I have no control over that. So that's what I've learned. Okay, another question that the person has is, can you describe the most ideal guy or special guy you referred to in the previous broadcast you will take seriously? Okay. Oh my gosh. Like, all right. I don't want to sound so superficial or anything like that. I would say that I can't really give a description of the person other than the fact of there being a connection, there being a mutual respect, signs of growth rather than stagnation. A guy who is about that, and I would say someone who take themselves seriously, their heart seriously. I know that if they take themselves seriously and their heart seriously, that they will take me seriously. And there's certain signs that will let you know, or will let me know, that this is a special guy, not just any ordinary guy, you know. And especially, I feel that the guy has to put the Most High first. You know, it doesn't mean that they have to be religious, but acknowledge that there is a higher power here in this world. You know, even in acknowledging the universe in itself is something, you know, good, you know. And so when it comes down, when I metaphorically said my heart being like a glass, you know, someone who's just very careful and cautious when dealing with me, someone who just don't just move and just have their own agenda and just trying to, you know, hit it and quit it. Like, nah, like when I don't have time to invest in those types of relationships. I am not getting any younger, I'm getting older, and those hidden and quitted relationships, friends with benefits, it's just not my cup of tea. When I feel like I have a guy that's talking about his future, talking about a future with me being in it, that's what's most important for me. A guy and them being able to share they divine experiences that they have with the Most High is someone who's special, and they can exude their gifts. As far as if they are, I would say more of a sixth sense, if they prophetic, or if they have psychic abilities, or if they are very intuitive, you know, things of that sort. To me, that is a special guy. That's not just an ordinary guy. That's an extraordinary guy who takes charge and responsibility for the things that he do. They're very special to me, you know. So that's what I could give as far as a description. As far as saying, oh, he gotta be tall, certain complexion, this, that, the third, certain ethnicity. I'm not getting caught up into the shenanigans or trivial nonsense, okay? I'm not doing it, okay? So that's your answer to that question. And last thing, this is the last question that I'm going to answer. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So they say, do you normally have a soft-spoken and seductress voice? If so, is your tone linked to theatrical performance for the show? OMG. So to my listeners, I know if you enjoy it, if I put you to sleep, rock a bye baby with my voice, I will say that this is just me. I really am soft spoken. I feel like through the course of the time of me doing radio shows that it helped me to develop ways of how to articulate myself, and it's just a tone that I got stuck with. And I won't say it's more of a seductress voice, because like I said, sometimes I could rock a bye baby, put a person to sleep with my voice. But then you got some guys or some gals, they may be turned on by my voice, and I don't intentionally mean to do it as so I would say it's kind of borderline theatrical performance, you know, especially when I'm putting emphasis on a certain tone or description. I would say that is so. But as far as trying to lure people in, it's just a part of the performance. And it's not to just, you know, seduce anyone with my voice, but it's just to get people, you know, attention, and to get them to listen to what I have to say. Because at the end of the day, when you take the time to listen to what I'm saying, it's like, oh, you come to like certain epiphanies. So, at the end of the day, I would say this is just normally how I speak, and it's not, you know, to just, you know, be seductress in any kind of way. And yes, it's borderline theatrical performance. And so, okay, so those are the questions and answers to that. And when it comes down to the show, once again, this was about the aftermath and recovery of stages. My advice would be to anyone who is in a relationship, the key factor of this show is to get out sooner while you can when you experience more than one red flag in a relationship. And please do not subject yourself to abuse or diminish your self-worth by being with someone or trying to live the life of someone or what they want you to live. And tolerating it, or don't tolerate any form of abuse, and be okay with it. Okay, because if you tolerate abuse, that means it's okay for others to disrespect you and not have no regard for you and behave in an inconsiderate way towards you. So you don't want that. Okay, because when you tolerate abuse, it just ignites the abuser to do more and more things that they could do to you to break you down. Okay, another thing is to, when I talked about throughout the show, is planning to leave. And planning to take action in the process, it starts in the mind, okay? And then take baby steps. And then being alone is okay. It's okay. It's scary when you're going about change. But when you take those baby steps to that leap of faith and moving forward, it's a different experience. So how of feeling lonely, on the other hand, is not okay. Okay, so feeling alone is okay when you're going about your journey. You don't have no one around you but you, and you know you're going through a transformation and transitioning in life. That's okay when you're alone, but it's not okay when you feel lonely, because it's an indication of weakness and it's a lack of trust in yourself, and you become prey for codependent relationships. Okay, and then when it comes down to self-love, is an everyday ongoing battle and journey. Okay, self-love is, especially when you have the world contradicting what you innately develop as self-love within yourself. So just because the world may not be okay or try to define who you are, you have to be solid and firm in knowing and understanding who you are, and be profound in that self-love, and don't let nobody shake your foundation whatsoever. Okay, especially for you women, because you see a certain standard of beauty, don't let it affect you in any kind of way. If you feel love, if you feel appreciated, if you feel like a woman when you go about building yourself up and, you know, pampering yourself, and you like that certain form of beauty, that's fine, but don't lose sight of you, okay, and developing a healthy, sound self-love for yourself, okay? So now I'm going to end the show with some quotes. Okay. All right. So one quote is, you are not missing out when you choose to better yourself. That's one quote. Recovery is a battle, a daily battle. Just keep fighting. Just hold on. Slowly the battles will get easier. Good relationships don't just happen. They take time, patience, and two people who truly want to be together. Ever notice after a breakup, the loyal one stays single and deals with the damages until healed, while the cheater is already in a new relationship? So those are quotes that I found on the internet, and some, you know, things that you could just replay back and just listen to again and just reflect on. So thank you for listening to The Memoirs of Her. Bye-bye.